We have a protective field of high-energy plasmic that has the force of an energy weapon, that is, preventing any material from having surface contact with the spacecraft. This field is activated in navigating through space to avoid collision with micrometeoroids and other objects that may cross our routes. We never had to use it to defend ourselves from attack because it was never necessary. Large ships pass through here, and if you could see some of them without being properly prepared, you would be terrified. Some are ugly even by our standards. Question: and the small spheres that follow our airplanes? They have also been seen flying over various regions. These spheres are remote probes, controlled by any spacecraft that is in the region. They are very fast and have a wide variety of tools for analysis and recording. They can get in small places and maneuver accurately. They never knock into anything due to having a navigation system that accurately controls their proximity to objects. They pose no danger to you, unless there is an accident caused by some event beyond the control of the operators or interference of attempted capture by humans. There are also many of these probes in research under the ocean every day. They are programmed to self-degenerate if they lose contact with the command for a predetermined period of time and are considered lost. If one is caught, it becomes a lot of metallic powder in a short time. Question: why not use this technology for self-degradation in spacecraft as well? This will avoid falling into the hands of Earthlings. Spacecraft are far more complex units. They have systems that make it impossible to self-destruct because of anti-carbon units and are manned by humanoids. They are not planned to fail. When they have problems, they are retrieved, and when they fall into the hands of Earthlings, they are impossible to be analyzed. So, no problem. The probes are aplenty, more fragile and unmanned. Because they are not managed by brain signals like spaceships, they contain a navigation system controlled from a distance that could be parsed and partially understood by Earthlings. They can self-destruct without any major problems or major costs. Question: what kind of weapons do you have? We do have weapons, but do not use atomic energy. The atomic energy is a force that causes many bad side effects, a primitive way of getting dirty energy. It is harmful to all living things, plants, and animals, including humanoids for sure. Very soon you will be compelled to replace the dirty energy with clean energy. Our arms are summarized in bundles of concentrated energy that are not used as weapons in and of themselves. We use them most often to destroy asteroids and other celestial bodies that might be causing any problems. Of course, if there is a need to use one as a weapon against some strange race or circumstance, it will be used as a last resort. You are being monitored very many years with respect to your atomic weapons. We have ways to counter catastrophic effects, but there would be a loss of many species living on the planet, causing an imbalance for many generations. All of your atomic installations are under constant surveillance. Question: in the case of nuclear plants, they are currently used for energy production. What would be the clean solution? Eliminating coarse hydroelectric power plants by all means. Clean energy is currently the anti-carbon unit. It has no side effects. We use small power generating units that can fulfill any of your major cities for centuries without any maintenance. Clean energy, cheap and abundant. We do not use wires to conduct energy like you hear on Earth. Factories, homes, or vehicles have a small receiver that is tuned in the power distribution center. Everything is wireless. Power is distributed to any remote place on the planet where a receiver is installed. Your power plants fueled by oil also have their days numbered. They are big suppliers of Ka squared accumulated in your atmosphere. The burning of petroleum in general is a dirty form of energy that you still use on your planet. In this new era, the Earth's atmosphere will decontaminate radically. Question: have you heard the songs that I gave you? Yes, thank you, we heard and many of them are very beautiful, conveying pleasant feelings. We appreciate all played with pianos. I brought your unit back because now we have coped the sounds on our equipment. Question: well, on another occasion, you told us that your teletransporter took only your signature, not even any dust. You took the iPod to your ship, how? When I want to take something with me, I simply say that I am taking an artifact, can be a plant, animal, or object. The system tracks what is in contact with me and immediately creates a signature for that item. It is so automatic that it is almost imperceptible when you're used to using the teletransporter. When I say nothing, only my signature is carried. Question. Do you know if others like you are communicating with other fellow Earthlings like me around the planet? I know many have already talked to Earthlings. I was curious about your curiosities. I feel good for us that we can communicate at a good level. It's much easier to communicate with you, our brains interact very well. At this end of the current era, it is already possible for good communication. You have arrived at an intellectual level that most easily absorbs these new concepts. The Earth is getting ready. For me personally, this was a great experience too. Unfortunately, not all extraterrestrial races have the same principles. The reptilians certainly still need to develop a philosophy of coexistence. Some non-reptilian races of independent colonies also follow them to profit at their associations and exploitation of raw materials. These groups are not very reliable. I asked about the movement of reptilians in their lunar base, and according to sources in our fleet, this past year about 4,000 reptilians came to Earth and did not return to their colonies. They surely must be living and working in underground bases courtesy of your governments. In total there are around 20,000 reptilians, and related living in unofficial settlements on your planet. You see, your planet can accept the races that like living here, but this race does nothing that is not only self-interest. They do not intend to help develop your community, only to exchange favors. Be smart with what your governments are planning to do. These partners may not be something for the welfare of the community. Video 08, Answers of an Alien from Andromeda A. Video 8A October Rose 6th 2010. Mithy started talking. You asked me the other day about being able to communicate with us. Well, I'll give you a small stone, not an ordinary stone. It is molecularly programmed to act as a transceiver. With it in your hand, you could try talking to me when I'm gone. I do not know how long we still will be on mission. When you want to talk to me, hold the stone for some time in your hand, and if I am available, or as you say online, we can talk. An expert from my crew molecularly programmed that small stone between us, so before I go, I'll give it to you. Really? It will be the most important phone I've ever had in my life. It will be great. I was sad thinking that we would lose the contact soon. You will not have to use it a long time. Soon your planet will have much contact with people quite different and interesting. Question. Mithy, I'm thinking about this small stone. As an engineer, I'm so curious. I understand about molecular programming because we do it here with silicon, which is a mineral too, but it is not at all proactive. How does this thing work? Well, we have had the technology to program raw materials for a long time. As I have explained before, our metal artifacts, controls, engines, everything is molecularly programmed to perform a particular function. We have no wiring in our ships, only some pipes for fluids. This transceiver uses the energy of your own body to function. Explaining, you have here on Earth quartz crystals, which have been programmed by nature to respond to stimuli. When you depress the quartz crystal on one axis, it generates a voltage at the ends of the perpendicular axis. While putting an electrical signal on electrical axis, it generates a mechanical movement in the opposite axis. This is just one example, roughly, of molecules programmed, in this case, by nature, providing a very specific function forever. Nothing is supernatural, everything is applied science. Question, I know. But it's not exactly what I want to know. Will a programmed small rock make a connection between us all that distance? How does it work to convey? Okay, you have cell phones that connect directly to your telecom satellites, anywhere on the planet. Our little stone will also talk but through your natural satellite where there is a relay antenna, or any spacecraft that is in your atmosphere with a bypass channel of communication connected to the nearest transport gateway. The transport gateways are not only for spacecraft or ore. They also send signals to all connected to the system network. Each of us, every living being, has a unique signature in the universe. It's like your computer, it has a number or code, and anyone else can find it because they are connected in the same network system. When you try connecting to me, the signal, after reaching the nearest transport gateway, is relayed to the entire network to try to find the recipient to deliver that connection. It is very simple. Even if the endpoint is a million light years away, communication is almost instantaneous using the gateways. In ancient times, many millions of years ago, monoliths molecularly programmed were placed across many planets with shipping routes to serve as relays for communication and as a point of reference for the navigation of spacecrafts, such as the lighthouses used in your oceans for centuries. We did not have a complete communication network in those old days. Question: there are these monoliths on Earth currently in use? Yes, but they are not really monoliths because it would draw attention and are no longer used for the original function. In all locations where there are concentrations of humans, we schedule some specific construction with all the data collected. We program them molecularly to transmit data read-only, like a beacon. All your cities have monuments like obelisks and towers, and are frequently used. These data, when accessed by anyone who is researching something, count the average number of inhabitants of the region, maps, resources, coordinates, major installations, and other notes characteristics of that community, such as habits, average intellectual level, type of government, social organizations, etc. These databases are constantly being updated. This is just a survey for research purposes and details of the humans who inhabit the planet. Well, Mithy, it's a big joke. We sent gold, CDs, cards, a lot of information into space, hoping for someone to find. That was merely to hoodwink the common people because governments already know of the existence of you guys for so long. And you know absolutely everything about us. Supposedly, yes, for sure. Question: how do you see this kind of manipulation of our government? You should find us all completely meaningless. Well, as I said, you are a very diverse mix of personalities at the moment. There are all kinds of manipulation of your society since the feudal times. The rulers of the earth are placed in power by interest and favor, not by merit or ability to be there. We understand that the most ordinary of earthlings can acquire positions to manipulate others due to having major economic control of the planet. In our systems, the most qualified are automatically appointed to the positions where they are ideal to meet. Our leaders are the For Life philosophy, to sequence the harmonization and development of an entire race. All are equipped with infrastructure necessary to fulfill their duties without favoritism. All are happy in their jobs because they do what they like and do best. We do not have such a big difference between social classes as you. When the quality of life improves in some aspects, it improves for the entire race of the planet also. Never be more to some, and less for others. The duties of less responsibility are as important as those of greater responsibility, because they are in far greater numbers and may form the basis by which all major decisions are made. The most brilliant scientist is not more important than the one who provides your food, because he would not survive without it. Our leaders and their boards are as respected as any inhabitant of our planet. It is always one for all and all for one. In this new age of planet Earth, this new concept of real leadership capacity for various public offices will finally start. And your people may live more harmoniously, each doing what is best for the good of the community as a whole, being respected and valued in their differences. Question: Mike asks, recently, in our time, very large kinds of artificial anomalies were observed in the vicinity of our sun. They were there for several weeks. Do you know anything of them? Were they natural or spacecraft of some kind? The other day I said that Pleiadians were within the limits of your solar system by performing maneuvers. If the objects were large enough to be observed by you, they would surely be their mother ships. They have larger spacecrafts. The energy field of the spacecraft has the ability to withstand high temperatures without the interior being affected. When passing through the Earth's TMS atmosphere, spacecrafts go at high speeds but do not heat or burn by friction like meteors because they have the energy fields activated. Anyway, you guys are going to witness many spacecrafts in motion throughout your solar system during these coming days. Question: Mike asks if you have other ships on mission in other continents. In Europe, for example. If so, would there be a possibility for other members of your fleet contacting Earthlings there? Mike: I cannot take such action as it would seem that I was trying to force an early unauthorized contact with Earthlings in general. I have no authority to do so. Even if I only suggest this to other crews, it will seem like a kind of manipulation. My crew is turning a blind eye to my contact with you because I am a scientist, an explorer who studies behavior. We've been together a long time in many missions, and I have this extra official connivance of my friends. What I'm doing is not totally correct, but it does not involve any misconduct that may jeopardize our mission. It's only my scientific curiosity. For me personally, it was the first opportunity that came up to better analyze the current context of you and your friends. For your questions, your main doubt with the current level of development. Question: How do you define the capacity of individuals for certain functions available in your society? In our society, the development of our current race, there are no people considered stupid or intelligent. Actually, there is a narrow strip of IQ. What we have is respect for the tendencies of each individual. If you enjoy learning medicine, you are dedicated to this function. We have architects, biologists, engineers, sociologists, teachers, dietitians, miners, archaeologists, growers, assemblers, or any kind of trends as you have here on Earth. The big difference is that we use advanced technology to do all the functions we need. We control the weather, temperature, and solar filters of our atmosphere. We maintain colonies to develop other planets, keeping the population of our planet always stable. Our three colonies are very nice places to live and vacation. We have many plant specimens of your Earth and other planets, adapted to our planet and our colonies. Question: If the worst should happen to the Earth, we may lose much of our flora and fauna. How do we reclaim the planet? Many species will survive without problems, and others will be introduced to balance the context. You still have many species that are harmful, and these cannot be part of a new era on the planet. Microbes, bacteria, and pests will also be systematically eliminated from the planet in the first century of the new time. You have spreaders of disease such as cockroaches and other vermin that will no longer function in a cleaner and less polluted society. Therefore, anything that does not fit over the new concept will disappear with time. Question: Well, Mithy, this month is over. In the next month, are you expecting any unusual movement of ships on the planet? Could you see if something will happen by consulting your command? I'll check what I know. The command does not pass any information if not relevant to our mission, but they warn us if unusual events are happening. If I have any news not confidential, I will tell you for sure. But reassure them that nothing will happen that could threaten the integrity of your community at this time. Video 09, Answers of an Alien from Andromeda A. Video 9A, October 12, 2010. Question: Mike asks, what is what we call pyramid power? A structure made to the same proportions as the Egyptian pyramids, and objects are placed at a designated height within it, is able to keep food fresh, sharpen blades, etc. Broken bar even said to cure illness. Is the pyramid acting as an energy focusing device? If so, what energy? Yes, Mike. The pyramids were built as primitive tuners and amplifiers of cosmic energy. Cosmic energy is what keeps the whole universe in balance. She is the mother of all energy that exists and lives. There are pyramids on different planets. They were not built by ancient civilizations, but for them. They gave the final touch and decor in accordance with their cultures. The pyramid, in its resonance chamber, had the capability to receive direct communication from the home planet in the old days, and they were used by the representatives of elite Earthling cultures to receive knowledge, tuning their minds to what they considered beyond. They cannot be used as an instrument, but they amplify up to 11 times the reception of cosmic energy. They were not tombs of kings as your archaeologists have wondered for a long time. This technique of channeling energy can be used by anyone. The cosmic energy can restore features of minerals and vegetables, but mainly acts on the brain waves of humanoids. One day your science will understand how the brain is tuned with the cosmos. Its energy can be amplified and directed. You see, your brain power will cause the communication through the small stone to be transmitted through space to the moon. This cosmic energy, when acting in the brain, causes reactions throughout the body, because it greatly increases the level of plasmic energy that flows throughout the nervous system. This increased energy can facilitate repair of hot spots that can be isolated or semi-isolated by physical problems, strains, inflammation, etc. The brain is like a biological power generator. For any problems, it may be generating very little power, and this leads to problems of slow reaction to the rest of the circuit. The pyramid can act as an injection of energy to reactivate the brain and nervous system, and then the body reacts by fighting the body problems more effectively. If you're healthy, your brain and nervous system are balanced. But if you want to test it, build a pyramid where you can come in and meditate. The energy incident on the faces are concentrated in the center of the pyramid, redirected by the prism effect. The best raw materials to build are sheets of mineral glass. Concrete or rock slides as well as improves resonance. Avoid using metal as they reverberate and lose energy, and there is the grounding effect of the signal. Do not use wood or plastic because they do not cause the resonance needed. The correct measurements of each triangular face is, any unit, 3.2 base and 2.0 at the two sides. From these measurements you can use any size, smaller or larger. Install the pyramid with a face aligned to magnetic north, south line as well as the planet is also aligned with the magnetic spin of the galaxy. Place in the center of the floor a support of a 0.7 tall timber where you can get to absorb as much energy. Today we have systems in fitness, making these energy applications with accuracy depending on the individual's need for recovery. Do not put in their sensitive electronic devices as they may malfunction. Question: Mike asks, there has been a suggestion that our solar system is not originally part of the Milky Way galaxy. It is apparently in the process of being pulled in or captured by the Milky Way from its original home, the Sagittarius Dwarf Galaxy. This is said to account for the angle to the ecliptic at which our solar system lies on the edge of the Milky Way. Do you know something about this? Mike, I'm not sure about that. I could try to check in very ancient history. Some galaxies collided long ago, and still are recombining. Many celestial bodies are not occupying their original positions, most were aggregated on the formation of galaxies. In my personal opinion, I do not believe that the Milky Way has passed close to the Sagittarius Dwarf Galaxy without catching it entirely. That would be nearly impossible. When two galaxies with a large mass difference come so close that they touch, the largest one always attracts the smallest, modifying the route of least to itself. The galaxies in proportion to their size are very slow in its movements. The gravitational force of two nearby galaxies is immense. It's different when one celestial body is traveling at speed and passes close to another in its route, stealing their moons. Our galaxy will join one day, and the adjustment of solar systems in the two galaxies is in many cases catastrophic. Question: Mithy, you have a family somewhere? Yes, I have my biological parents on my planet. There, in addition to my biological parents, I have many other Ea Mentora parents. When we're teenagers, we traveled a lot in exchange. I lived for a time in several different places, completing my training. Every family gets you like a son. I was born in the city but lived in the countryside, in the three colonies, met all professional options that interested me in their original locations, to form my own personality. And now I am a researcher and am single. One day I may have a child. Question: Steve asks, many abductees report having implants in parts of their bodies. Do you know what these implants are? Well, Steve, as I said before, the Earth is being visited by many races. Some of them have much interest in the area of biological development. As the Earth is not yet part of the Community Galactica, we do not have much information about what other races are doing. They can do whatever they wish as long as they do not cause problems for your communities. To my knowledge, the identification chips are placed on creatures that are under some kind of study. When collecting genetic material to be used to crossbreed in other beings, scientists must be able to locate the original sources again for new collections or simple observation. It's like a numbered test tube. Some breeds have genetic problems to solve, physical mutations over many generations that developed pathogenic abnormalities but can be treated with changes in genes. You are a race of humanoids with a strong physical constitution, are still at an early stage where there was not much loss of essential characteristics, and a good source of genetic humanoid material. See, normally they do not have bad intentions. Some breeds do not have the necessary respect because they think you are a race less developed intellectually. Actually, you also do this with your own less fortunate races of humans. You test drugs and do all sorts of experiments. You also use animals to do so. Look. I'm sure these human abductees have not suffered major physical injuries, but psychological, only because they were caught by surprise. This kind of thing must end when your planet becomes part of the community as an independent breed. Question, Steve asked, where are you exactly from, in terms of your home? An exact location in the universe would be helpful. Steve, as I told before, I live in the Andromeda Galaxy. The most accurate that I can give you is that my planet is in the right quadrant of the galaxy, near the superior border, as viewed from Earth. My solar system is approximately 540 light years from the center of my galaxy. Our solar system has 26 planets, 54 moons, and our sun is 18.3 times bigger than yours. Our planet is located on the 7th orbit and has 3 moons. We have 3 other colonies on planets in the 5th, 6th, and 8th orbits. We are very distant, and our units of astronomical coordinates are quite different from those used here. Everything is an hologram, programmed to monitor the actual movements, with the ability to zoom in to view the planets up close. It is impossible to see with telescopes since our solar system is in a galaxy far away, and your scientists will never be able to catalog us. It will be very easy when you have access to the information from a database of the Community Galactica. When you capture the image here, the object may no longer exist for a long time. In databases, you will have the information in real time, galactic time. Question, are the warlike and dangerous breeds that you know of? Unfortunately, yes. I don't like to play in these matters, but you asked, and there are real situations. There are colonies of breeds that are bellicose by nature. They are misdemeanors. They have no ability to solve all their social problems and degrade in hostile behavior. You have here the so-called pirates. Well, they are interplanetary pirates. They are a breed with the appearance of grays with approximately 1.6 meters, but skin color is more like brown. The eyes are smaller and dark brown, and the expression of the face is unpleasant. Long ago, some of these groups had taken over several spacecraft of some peaceful planets and used them to loot and smuggle goods flowing through the solar systems. These gangs also simulate codification of commercial spacecraft to circumvent the system of transport gateways. Sometimes they piggyback on mother ships of some connived breeds for certain solar systems under supervision, bypassing the official system of transport. Once they are in a solar system, they are difficult to detect, but when they want to move to another system, their ships have to use our transport gateways where there is more chance to apprehend them. As you can see, there are problems in all levels of technology and development. They may also be circulating here without any control, collecting biological material for third parties or even abducting people to work in their colonies. Sometimes we can trap and surround some of their ships, but for everyone we confiscate, they steal too. They also do much business with the reptilians in all galaxies. The reptilians do not steal, but seize opportunities to buy products without asking the source for convenience. How many of your nations did this in the old days with your pirates? They usually work without attracting much attention, are unlikely to appear publicly on your planet, but may be very active here if the reptilians install an official colony on your planet. As I told you before, there is a kind of a race of greys who works with the reptilians beyond the pirates. They are like their counters, managing the business for them and, of course, participating in the gains of the negotiations. You asked me the other day about objects near your sun.